Hey there, listeners. Thank you for taking time out of your week to listen in today. We're so glad you're here and are praying this message helps you. We also want to make sure you know about our latest podcast called the Anything's Possible Podcast. We've created it specifically with you in mind because we engage in deep conversations with people who are making both an impact here at our church and all around the city of Nashville. We believe everyone has a story to tell, a step to take, and that with Jesus, anything's possible. So make sure to subscribe today to the Anything's Possible podcast. You'll find it wherever you get your podcast. Okay, let's get you back to why you're here. Here's the latest message from Crosspoint Church.
What a beautiful story.
I love the Dollar Club. I mean, it's just a picture of what God can do when we all just bring a little bit and we bring it together. And I love Easter. I mean, it's the day when we get to celebrate the day when everything changed. We celebrate the resurrection and we celebrate new beginnings. We celebrate a God who makes all things new. But Easter just feels different this year, doesn't it? And while some of y'all got dressed up, many of y'all are celebrating Easter in your PJs. And that's okay, because you can worship in sweatpants. You can even go gray on gray if you want to. The Bible says that while man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. And the heart of Easter is what we're going after today. So I want us to do something that followers of Jesus have done on Easter for over 1,000 years. And it's an Easter greeting. And one person says, "He is risen," and the other person says, "He is risen indeed." So let's try it together. He is risen. All right, that was all right. Let's try it again. He is risen. He's risen indeed. And the reason that greeting has been passed down from generation to generation is because that truth is central to our faith. The historical reality that Jesus walked out of a tomb on the third day, it changes everything. It changes how we see the cross. It changes how we see death. It changes how we see ourselves. It changes how we see our future. The resurrection changes everything. And just like the setting of the sun and the end of a day, Jesus knew his time on earth was coming to an end. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 20. We're going to pick up in verse 17. It says, "Now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, and on the way he took the 12 aside, and he said to them, 'We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life.'" Now, did you see that? Jesus just told them the who, what, when, where, and how of his death. He told them that he would come back from the dead. See, Jesus didn't run from his death. Now, here's the deal. If you and I, if we knew the details of how we were gonna die, we'd pack up the car and go to Mexico. We'd go as far as we could away. ¿Cómo estás, mi amigo? I mean, we're gone. But not Jesus. Jesus walks right into it because he knew his mission. So that we could be forgiven, so that we could be restored, so we could be made right with God. Now, when they get to Jerusalem, it's Passover. Now, remember, Passover was when the nation of Israel celebrated how God called Moses to lead his people into freedom from their slavery in Egypt. They remembered how God talked to Moses and God told Moses his name. He said, "My name is I Am. I am who I am. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Now, what's interesting is this is the only place where God says, "I am the God of your father." Now, why do you say that? Because Moses never knew his father. Moses is like, "You know my father? If you know my father, I'm going with you." And God was saying, "I know your earthly father, and I am your heavenly father." And Moses, "I am everything you've longed for in a dad." And when Jesus shows up, he introduces himself as the I Am. He's fully God and fully man. He is the personification of the promises of God. And in the Gospel of John, he gives these I Am statements. He says, "I am the vine, and I am the light of the world, and I am the shepherd, and I am the gate, and I am the bread of life, and I am the resurrection and the life." And today we're going to look at this one where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Now, this comes from a conversation he had with the disciples. It was coming to the end of the day, much like it is now. And they just finish what would be their last meal together before the cross. Now, what amazes me about this is that Jesus is less than 24 hours from the most excruciating death that's imaginable. And he's not afraid. Like they could look in his eyes and there was no fear. He's full of peace and he's fully present. Now, when I'm at the dinner table with my family and I'm feeling anxious about something, I can just kind of zone out. I mean, my body is there, but my mind is elsewhere, but not Jesus. Like he's fully present and he's fully focused on the people in front of him. He's full of peace. He knows he's gonna die, but he's full of peace. And he serves them and he washes their feet and they eat together and he asks them questions and he speaks to their hearts and he makes his words count. As a pastor, you know, there have been times where I've been with people at the ends of their life, and there's just something about those conversations. In those end-of-life conversations, every word matters. And we get that sense when we read the conversations that Jesus had with his disciples that night. Man, I'm so glad that John lets us in on the conversation, on what was said. Let's listen in to what he says. Hey, John. Chapter 13, verse 33. He says, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, I will tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come." Disciples are like, "What are you talking about, Jesus? Like, we're your disciples. We go with you. We follow you. That's what we do. We left our families. We left our jobs. We left our dreams. We left everything to follow you. Where are you going that we can't go?" And they're getting anxious and they're getting nervous. And look at what Jesus said. He said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the place where I'm going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so what Jesus is saying, he's saying, don't let your heart be troubled. Like, listen, even though you face trouble, you can have a quiet heart. You can have peace. He's saying, trust me. You trust God, trust me. I'm going to prepare a place for you, but don't worry. I'm going to come back and get you so that you can be where I am. And Thomas is like, hold up. Lord, hold up. We don't have the foggiest idea what you're talking about. We don't know where you're going. And if we don't know where you're going, we don't know how to get there. And I love Thomas. I mean, I love that he didn't just stand there and just nod his head and act like he knew what Jesus was talking about. Thomas asked questions. And when Thomas asked questions, Jesus doesn't say, "Thomas, get out. I don't have time for your questions." Because the truth is, like Thomas, we've got a lot of questions. There's a lot that we don't understand. And what I want you to see is that Jesus can handle your questions. See, following Jesus and being a follower of Jesus is not understanding everything. It's giving yourself fully to the truth that you already possess, that you already understand. And Jesus breaks it down for Thomas. He says, "I'm going to the Father in heaven. And Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no way to get to the Father but through me." And after the sun sets on that last day, Jesus teaches a little more. And then he leads them out of the upper room, and they go into the night. They walk into the darkness together. And that's when things get dark. I mean, real dark. Friday was the darkest day in history. As the day that Jesus was betrayed and he was tried on trumped up charges, he was beaten, he was whipped, he was scourged, literally tore the skin off his back. They put a robe on his back and they jammed a crown of thorns in his head. They plucked his beard, they spit on him, they mocked him, and they made him carry his own cross like a common criminal to the place of crucifixion. And the Roman soldiers, they stretched out his arms on the beam, and they thought they had all the power and control, but they didn't have the power and control. Jesus said, "I alone have the power to lay my life down and have the power to raise it up again." And they drove spikes into his hands and into his feet. And then they put a sign up above his head. And you know what the sign said? The sign said, "I am. I am the King of the Jews." The "I am" was hanging on a tree. The Good Shepherd laid his life down for his sheep. The bread of life was broken for us. And after hanging on the cross for 6 hours, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." And he breathed his last. And they drove a spear into his side just to make sure that he was dead. And then they took his body off the cross and they went and they laid it in a tomb. And that's about as dark as it gets. I mean, we call it Good Friday, but if you were a disciple, there was nothing good about that day. I mean, their hearts were broken. Their dreams were shattered. The one that they put their hopes in was dead. I mean, talk about darkness. I mean, there's a darkness that comes with death, the death of a loved one, the death of a dream, the death of a relationship. I mean, if you've experienced loss like that, you know that that darkness can be suffocating. It can make it hard to breathe, laying there in bed at night, looking at the ceiling and wondering, where are you, God? Have you ever been there? On Saturday morning, they woke up and they were hoping it was just a dream. But then they realized that Jesus was still gone and their hearts, well, there was still a hole there. And if you've ever experienced a loss like Friday, then you know the numbness of Saturday. It's the next day. It's the day after the breakup. It's the day after you get caught. It's the day after regret. It's the day after the tornado comes through. It's the day after divorce. It's the day after the market crashes. It's the day after the diagnosis. It's the day after all your plans fall apart. It's the day after your future seems turned upside down. It might be light outside, but it can feel dark on the inside. And I wonder what they did that Saturday. I mean, maybe they went for a walk. Maybe they sat together around the table and they talked about what he said. They recalled those conversations. They remember where he said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." And they're like, "Well, Jesus, our heart is troubled now." And he said, "Trust in God. Trust also in me." He said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come back and get you so you can be where I am." He said, "He's the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but through him." And Jesus said, "He's the way." Listen, when we feel stuck in Saturday, in the darkness of Saturday, that's what we want is a way. I mean, we want a way out. We want a way through. We want a way around it. We want a way over it. We feel it in this pandemic. We want to know, what's the way through this? Is it an experimental drug, or is it testing, or is it a vaccine, or is it a mask? Is it gloves? Is it social distancing? Is it staying at home? Is it all those things? Is it eating Oreos? Because if it's eating Oreos, if that's what's the way through this, then I got that down. But like, our world is stuck in Saturday, and it feels like Groundhog Day over and over again. And on Saturday, we want to know, how long is this going to last? I mean, when are things going to change? On Saturday, we're wondering, when is Sunday coming? And the disciples were stuck in Saturday, but then Sunday rolls around. In John chapter 20, it tells us that while it was still early in the morning, it was still dark outside, Mary Magdalene, she went to the tomb. And when she got there, she could see that the stone was rolled away. And she thought that somebody stole the body. So she starts weeping. She starts crying. She's distraught. She thinks a bad situation just got worse. And then somebody walks up and it's dark outside. She can't quite make out who it is. She thinks it's the gardener. And then he speaks and he says, "Mary." And she knows that voice. She recognizes Jesus. She yells out, "Teacher," and she goes and she throws herself at his feet. And Jesus said, "Mary, you can't stay here. Go tell the boys that I'm alive." And for the rest of the day, I love this, for the rest of the day, Jesus just goes around and he's revealing himself to people. He's showing himself to people, the resurrected Christ, that he is alive. And one of my favorite examples of this is in John chapter 20. Look with me at verse 19. It says, "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for the fear of Jewish leaders." I want you to see this. They got the doors locked. They're afraid. They're afraid because Rome has more crosses. They're afraid for their lives. So they've quarantined themselves. They've locked themselves in the upper room. And then it says that Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Jesus, the resurrected Christ, comes into the locked room and just sneaky Jesus just comes in and he says to them, "Peace be with you." See, that's the difference between me and Jesus. If I'd have gone in that room, I said, "Boo," I'd have scared those boys. But Jesus doesn't. He gives them peace. Look at verse 20. "And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord." I mean, it's a party. And again, Jesus says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And that's why Sunday is the day when everything changed. I mean, the disciples, they saw the resurrected Christ. They received the Holy Spirit. And everything changed on that day. Now, don't get me wrong. Rome, they still had more crosses. But the disciples, they had Jesus. And it changed everything. I mean, think about it. The disciples who were, they were in that upper room and they had the door locked because they were afraid. Now they had courage. Now they had strength. They had Jesus. For 40 days, Jesus just keeps showing up. He just keeps walking with them and teaching them and eating meals with them. And then he ascends to heaven. And the resurrection changes everything for the disciples. Remember, they thought he was dead and they were afraid. But when they knew he was alive and they received his spirit, there was a boldness and a courage and a strength that they didn't have before. I mean, they had the same peace that Jesus had. And every one of them, they risked their life for the gospel. And history tells us that they were persecuted, that they were jailed, and they were martyred for their faith. But because of the resurrection, they gave their lives for the good news and so that other people could hear it. See, the resurrection changes the way we see the cross. I mean, maybe you've got a cross tatted up on your arm or hanging on your wall at the house or maybe around a necklace on your neck. But the resurrection changes the way we see that symbol, because without the resurrection, the symbol has no power. I mean, it's just a torture stick. It represents death and despair, but it's been transformed to a symbol of hope and a symbol of victory. See, the resurrection changes the way we see death. Death is a result of sin. We live in a broken, fallen world filled with uncertainty. Maybe you've heard it said that the only thing that's certain is death and taxes. But this year, not many people are thinking about taxes, thinking of death. We are more aware of our mortality than ever. But because of the resurrection, Jesus delivered a final death blow to death. The Bible says, "Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting?" Jesus took the sting out of death, which means that if you've put your trust in Jesus, you don't have to fear death. The worst thing that can happen to you is not the worst thing that can happen to you. Last year, I took my kids to Israel, our whole family. Rhea and I took the kids there, and it was amazing. At the end of the trip, we went to the Garden Tomb, and we stood at that Garden Tomb, and there was a line to get to the tomb. And as we stood there and we waited in line, we finally got there, and we looked inside. It was empty. I'll just go ahead and save you the time of taking the trip, save you the time of standing in line. There was nobody in there. What used to be a grave is now a garden. See, on Saturday, it was a place to weep, but on Sunday, it became a place to worship. On Saturday, it was a place of sadness, but on Sunday, it became a place to rejoice. On Saturday, they mourned, but on Sunday, they went to tell the world. And we are talking about this, and we're listening to this message right now because of what happened on that Sunday. The resurrection changes everything. It changes the way we see ourselves. See, we were worth dying for. We were worth Jesus giving his life for. And you need to know that there is nobody that Jesus loves more than you. And in the same way he gave his spirit to the disciples in that upper room, he wants to give his life and his peace to you in the room that you're sitting in right now. And if you're in Christ, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. The same spirit that blew the rock off an empty tomb is in you. And because of the resurrection, it might be Saturday around you, but it's Sunday inside of you. And I want you to hear that. It might be Saturday in the world around us, in the darkness, but you can have Sunday inside of you. The resurrection changes everything. It changes the way we see the words of Jesus. It validates what he said. Listen, I don't know who you're putting your hope in, but I'm going with the guy who promises, who says, "I'm gonna come back from the dead," and then he makes good on his word. It probably means that if he's right about that, he's right about everything else too. That's exactly what it means. Listen, if Jesus' body is in the grave, you can dismiss him. But if Jesus conquered death, then his word is worth holding on to. And when we're in the dark, We need a word to hold on to. We're in the dark. We need truth that we can hold on to. And Jesus tells us the truth. He says, I go to prepare a place for you so that you can be where I am. And he's preparing a place for you, an eternal home. See, this world is not our home. Rhea and I, we were at a hotel years back on our anniversary, and I went downstairs to get a coffee in the morning. And I'll never forget, I asked the man, I said, where are you from? And he said, Congo. I said, do you miss it? And his eyes kind of welled up. And he said, I miss it every day. Listen, this world is not our home. We weren't made for this world. We were made for God. And Jesus said, I'm going to your forever home. I'm going there to prepare a place for you so you can be where I am. Listen, we were made to be at home with God. And like Thomas, we ask, how do we get there? How do we get to that place? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, I am a way. He says, I am the way. If there was any other way, believe me, God would have done it. But sin required a sacrifice. And we've all sinned. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So you don't have to be stuck in a house long to realize that there are other sinners in the house. And it doesn't take long if you're alone in a house to realize that you're a sinner there too. Our sin is what separates us from a holy God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, meaning we deserve death because of our sin. And there is no way for us to get to God on our own. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Listen, Jesus is the way maker. He's made a way for you. He lived a perfect life here on this earth, and he laid his life down on the cross. And he who knew no sin became sin for us. Literally all of our sin, all of our guilt, all of our shame, all of our crimes were placed on him that we could become the righteousness of God, that we could be made right with God. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him won't perish but have eternal life, that you can live forever. Jesus came that you would live forever. And he overcame death so that you can too. The resurrection changes everything, but the question today is, will you let the resurrection change you? Will you trust Jesus? Listen, you don't have to fear death. You don't have to go through life alone. You can know the peace of God. And the scripture says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that you'll be saved. And today can be that day that it happens for you. And if you want that, and I'd love to lead you in a prayer to put your trust in Jesus. Easter 2020 can be the day that the resurrection changes everything for you too. So I'd ask if you'd bow your head with me. That you bow your head with me, and if you want to put your trust in Jesus, you can pray something like this. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for loving me. And thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sin. And right now, I put my trust in you. I receive the forgiveness that you give. I receive your grace. I want to follow you here on earth. And I want to spend forever in heaven with you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.